Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Welcome to the Australian Chiropractic Association podcast. I'm your podcast host, Dr. Kim Lejeune. I'd like to begin our podcast by respectfully acknowledging the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and acknowledge the important role Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people continue to play in our communities. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Well, listeners, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm really excited today because we have a special guest on. Normally, we have this wonderful process where we chat to chiropractors in our field and people who are experts in their own field within chiropractic. But today, I get the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Hala Khoury. She is a renowned neuroscientist and a neuroscientist who actually shares our philosophy and our aspect of chiropractic. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome in Dr. Hala and then in turn begin our conversation today, which all of you might find very interesting. And I implore you to sort of hang in there right to the very end because we're going to have a lot to chat about. So good morning, Dr. Hala. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. It's great to be here. And thank you for the lovely introduction.
Oh, thank you for joining us. I can't thank you enough. And I really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy lady. You're a mother and you also run a very busy office. So for a lot of our listeners who probably have never come across you before, and I'd imagine there'd be a few in our profession who haven't, and I'd love you to share with our listeners how are you so passionate about chiropractic? And from your perspective, what chiropractic has to offer?
That's a really good question. So, why am I so passionate about chiropractic? Well, I'll start by talking about how I entered the chiropractic world. My husband, Justin, when we first met, he wasn't yet a chiropractor, but by that point, he was already inspired by chiropractic. So by the time we were engaged, he was studying to be a chiropractor, and he was studying at Macquarie Uni. You guys might have heard about Justin Chow. And throughout his study periods, I would be the one that he would stay up late at night with, talking about chiropractic concepts and philosophies. And he'd be asking me, oh, does this, you know, is this a good expression? Is this, you know, that I was his sounding board.
Test subject.
sounding board and his test subject.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward 5 years, he finished, he graduated, and he started working as a chiropractor for another company. And during that time, I was still studying my neuroscience PhD. So I hadn't yet completed my degree, but I was, you know, very much 1 foot in the study door, getting a PhD done, and the other foot in the motherhood and being a supportive chiro wife. But what happened was I kept helping and getting involved that the company decided, Hala, enough already. We're going to hire you. And I became an area coordinator for chiropractic life in the region where Justin and I were working. And so I started to have, from a business perspective, an understanding of how chiropractic works and what it takes to grow a community around the concept of chiropractic. And and then I found that, hey, this neuroscience stuff that I'm studying is not too far off from the chiropractic concepts that I'm constantly being exposed to. I'm seeing all of these people having incredible results, and I've been attending conferences, and suddenly it just became very clear that neuroscience and chiropractic can really fit very nicely together. And as I started to research more about it and understand more about it, listen to Heidi Harvick, I could see how strong the connection was. And it made me not just passionate about it because I loved it from the beginning, but also passionate about it from an education perspective, from a helping people understand on a deeper level how chiropractic is so intricately connected to the nervous system. And I'm so passionate about the nervous system. And so that's like my quick from different corners of my world, how they all collided together for neuroscience and chiropractic.
Well, for the benefit of our profession, we're so grateful for the fact that you have actually entered into it. However, it may have been through your husband, through the interaction of what you did outside of your own studies, but we're grateful for that. We, as chiropractors, as you would know, have always felt the science was there. We just, at the moment, we're entering into, I feel, a very exciting part of our profession, because the science is really showing now to the rest of the community world that what we do is legitimate, because we always have always espoused the nature of science, art, and philosophy. We always knew we had the art down pat. We were the best adjusters in the world as chiropractic goes. We always found that that was the essence of what we did, but also the philosophy behind it. Now that the science is really supporting everything we've known over the last hundreds of years, it's fantastic to know that people such as yourself, who are in different fields, are also seeing that too. So we're very excited to have you on board.
Yeah, and I am so excited to be here. And I can see, just like you said, how the science of chiropractic really works. But I might just take the conversation to where I feel, looking at it from the perspective, I just think that the community, and I'm not talking about the chiropractic community, I'm talking about the greater community, the people who are just walking on the streets, the normal everyday person, and how they might not know how incredible chiropractic is or what it actually does do. And so that's what I'm really passionate about. Whenever I go to a talk or a conference or whenever I'm presenting to a crowd, I ask them, the first question I ask them is, what do you think a chiropractor is? And then they will always say something like, oh, bones, cracking. And then I'll say to them, and this is what I usually say, well, as a neuroscientist, my mission is to change that common perception so that when people hear the word chiropractor, they think, oh, brain, nervous system, communication working really well in the body.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic. That's sort of, in essence, like I said earlier, we have been shouting from the rooftops about that, but it's great. It is. I cannot begin to tell you, after I've been a chiropractor for 30 years now, and it's just amazing to see finally over the years watching all this transition into having the nature of other professions such as yourself in neuroscience come into play and go, oh, look, guys. The rest of the community, listen, this is really good stuff. I want to ask you a little bit about that. So obviously you do a lot of breaking down barriers for the community at large. If I break it down to a little bit more specific to the scientific community. Now, obviously the scientific community, certain parts and certain sectors of them are still quite apprehensive of chiropractic. And that's, for whatever reason they might have, whether it be more, traditional thinking than opening themselves up to more of an understanding as to what it is. How do you, in your field, being a neuroscientist, how do you offer the health truths of what chiropractic has to offer to them? How do you go about bridging that gap?
Yeah, I really do like that question. I think it's going to be an ongoing process. And I'm okay with it taking years, decades, centuries. But the more research we contribute. Remember, in the scientific community, the sciences that we currently measure, or the the experiments that currently happen, they aren't the end point. What I mean to say is there is a lot of science and ways of measuring and ways of collecting and obtaining data that are really not in their final end stage. There's so much more to discover for how we can measure and do things. So science in itself is not this stationary thing that, oh, this is the gold standard and it will forever be the gold standard. It is evolving, it is growing. And what I think we need to do is research, like Heidi Havok's work, that kind of stuff. That is going to be amazing. And to keep contributing those things for the chiropractic community is going to be gold. And then bringing it to the people. So bringing it to the other disciplines, bringing it to doctors, GPs, bringing it to other researchers, and bringing it to the general community. And there are going to be different ways that we bring them these concepts depending on what our target audience is. So for me, I have a big interest in making information accessible to the general public and using different kinds of analogies that just click for people. But when we're talking about scientists or GPs or people from a medical way of looking and thinking, this is my opinion, and it's still something that, we're going to watch it play out. But the concept of collaboration and the concept of working together, I think, is going to be really important. So every time someone does come and see us in our practice, for example, our chiropractic practice, and they write down their GP's name and details, rather than just ignoring that GP, saying something like, well, hello, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, and these are the results that I have found. If you think of anyone else who is experiencing something like that, please send them my way and I would love to collaborate with you. So it's just the energy of collaboration and transparency and reaching out a hand. And the thing is, maybe not everyone will take that hand, but at least doing that process and opening the door. And what we've found is, because Justin and I, we've worked in other locations as well, we found that when we did that, when we reached out our hands and had a conversation with, the GP across the road from us, they got to know who we are. They got to meet us, have conversations with us. And they got a clear picture of, without us trying to step on anyone else's turf, just saying, hey, if you notice someone experiencing this, and this, you are so welcome to send them our way. And also tell us if someone comes into our door and they are exhibiting any of the following, just let us know what to look out for so we can send people to you. And then that energy of collaboration is just incredible. We've had, I'll just give you an example of that
Please.
GP place across the road. They started
Please.
sending people to us because they got to meet us and we communicated. And it won't always work, but to have a protocol set in place within every practice that, oh, this is what we do. We communicate with the GPs, we tell them what we do, and we create a platform for collaboration. It's going to have
Okay.
results. It's going to help.
I love that. I love that. And I know that there are a lot of practices out there who do make an effort to reach out to their, not just their GP, the various other practitioners in their community and develop a rapport to the point where they go, oh, look, I know this chiropractor. He does really good work. And yeah, you should go and see him. I love that idea. And I think the ACA is big on collegiality, certainly within its own membership. But I know the fact that they like to extend that collaboration with other professions. And if we can do that in our local community, as you say, I'm assuming that in due course, the more that happens, that
Oh,
will
it
then
will
in turn
expand.
grow. Yes. And then as a result, our profession looks stronger as it's always collaborating with other professions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you. That's brilliant. And I completely agree. And I love the fact that we have this process whereby at the moment we can use allied health services through Medicare via the GP. It's not the perfect ideal way to start that, but it's a start. And I agree with you that it's a great start. And over the years, I'm sure that in due course that will bring on more openings, like you're saying. So that's wonderful. So I'm gonna that'll lead into what I wanted to ask you was both obviously yourself and Justin work closely together in your office, and Justin being the chiropractor, you being the neuroscientist. How do you both, from a educational your own educational backgrounds, how do you incorporate what you both know for the betterment, let me get that word correct, for the betterment of patient outcomes? I'm assuming that between yourself and what you know and what Justin knows, and then what you guys bring together, how do you guys bring that together in terms of better patient outcomes?
Yeah, that is a good question because it's not just him and I in the equation. We also have staff as well. But let's look at how it first started with him and myself. So, yeah, we've spent many late nights sitting down and talking about chiropractic and the different philosophies. And I'm still young to that. I'm still a learner. I'm still a beginner.
We
But
all are. We
yeah,
all
we
are, Dr.
all are.
Haller. We'll always be learning together.
But whenever we do get together and we talk about these things, we get scientific and philosophical, and it's a business that we've started. So we run Soul Aura Chiropractic and we're based in Sydney now. But in the process of birthing this business, we've had a chance to sit down and review all of the things that we did do in our previous work together in a different company and then revisit it like, okay, so what dynamics worked? What concepts seemed to click when we would talk to clients? And we found that if we have sat together and made ourselves and our communication between each other full of clarity and certainty, then that will naturally spill into our interactions and our communications with our clients. So, I can talk about the specific scientific concepts that we've landed on, and I can talk about the types of analogies or explanations or posters that we've created to explain it so that a client can understand what their journey looks like and what is happening at that phase of their journey. I can talk about what I've been teaching my CAs from the past and present about how to communicate those concepts to a client. I can talk about how we've created like a checklist or a framework where, okay, in this part of the client journey, the client is talking to this person, then they're talking to, say, Justin, then they are talking to the CA, then they are talking to, so just the different phases of the client journey And what we want to make sure we have said to them at that phase of the journey where we want certain things to overlap, where this part has already been discussed with this person. So then now this person can focus on bringing forward this concept. So,
So it, yeah, okay,
yeah.
that's beautiful, and I love the way you both gelled and make that work from your two educational backgrounds. So let's just take that's a wonderful, if I can dive into that with you about just let's just take one example. A first person who has completed the initial consultation has done the report with, say, Justin. Now, in that report, does what he say to the person about what they've come in for, how much of that becomes that science aspect to, for want of a better word, justify what he's about to deliver to them? Or how much of it is very much based around purely the chiropractic aspect of what they're about to receive, if
Yeah,
that makes sense?
that's a good question. And having done a debrief with Justin about all of the clients that we see in the day, we've actually found that from person to person, there is a little bit of a variation. It's going to depend on that person and their goals or their level of being receptive. But before that, or around that, we do hold educational workshops. And those educational workshops are designed to help educate the person so that maybe they haven't seen us yet, but they've attended our workshop. Or maybe they haven't seen us yet, but they came to a screening where we were talking about the nervous system and the scientific concepts. Or maybe they've never heard anything about us before and they've walked in and they absolutely know nothing about what we do. They just think, oh, I need to see a chiropractor. The idea is with each person, there's going to be an element where we talk about the chiropractic component of, what Justin's going to be doing. And how that's going to ideally shape their journey, their chiropractic journey. But there will be a component where, and again, depending on what kind of goals do they have, what kind of questions are they asking, and what are they really attuned to, we will talk about the scientific concepts, like the nervous system. But it's infused in everything that we do. It's infused in, our external marketing stuff. It's infused in our workshops. It's infused in the conversation that we have before they've even walked in to see Justin. Then it's infused in the conversations that we have when they return, when they come and they go. Yeah, it's infused in the table talk. So they come in, they're getting adjusted, and I will hear Justin out loud. He'll be talking about, oh yeah, this area, this is what it's responsible for, and this is what it can help with. And so I'm going to focus on that area now for you. And then they will, ask questions, and then we'll have conversations about the nervous system. There'll be times where he'll say to them, you know what? That's actually Hala's specialty. When you come on out, just ask her about this. They'll ask me a question. And we can play off of each other as well. Some areas, are going to be more his strengths, and others are going to be more my strength. But we really do try to infuse it in everything that we do. And every aspect, every component.
I love that. I love how you've been able to, like you say, using the word infuse aspects of that science into everything that you do. I think a lot of practices who do very well are based around a common a common denominator to which they hinge everything around, and then in turn, all their messages always come back to this what core central unit, whether that be their discussions surrounding the nervous system, okay, and how that affects their health and well-being. If that is the core essence of what you discuss, and then everything else coming up from that is all geared towards supporting that. That's exactly what I'm hearing. Correct me if I'm wrong, that's exactly what I'm hearing, and how.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I think a lot of people who are starting out, particularly the young practitioners, whether they're working as an associate or they're setting up on their own, that's probably one of a super key message. And after 30 years of working, I've noticed that those who do very well are very strong, very in terms of their discussion, infused with that one core central discussion point, and everything comes towards and hinges around that. So I love how you guys have done that, and yeah, that's wonderful. Obviously, your community is benefiting from that, and I love that how you do in the spinal screenings, the external talks, the internal talks, the table talk. It's everything and everywhere. So that's
Exactly.
fantastic. That's
Yeah.
brilliant. As you touched on earlier too, you've obviously know of Dr. Heidi Harvick's research work, and I've had her on the podcast before, and it's so exciting to hear her talk about the advances in the research that she's
It
gaining.
really is,
It's
yes.
so exciting, isn't it? Like I know that our own chiropractic community they're always constantly talking about the wonderful research that's just coming through, and obviously, her specialty is around the research that she's been doing, how that affects the brain post adjustment, and the impact of receiving an adjustment, and what it does to the brain and nervous system. Exactly what you're saying too. I read with interest that your specialty is around neurodegeneration.
Yes.
What can you share about the effects of neurodegeneration, and how can chiropractic help to influence the damaging effects of neurodegeneration?
Yeah. Again, a really good question. I'll first give you a little bit more context about
Please.
what my PhD research was about. So it's about, just to give you the title of it, it's actually the effect of photobiomodulation on human brain activity. Now,
Okay.
photobiomodulation is red light therapy, so visible red light and near infrared light and infrared light. And the concept, or the idea, is that these red light photons, because of the wavelengths that they have the capacity to penetrate the skull and make contact with the cells. And our retinas aren't the only place in our body where we have photoacceptors, or photoreceptors. We actually have them within our cells everywhere in the body. And those photoacceptors have the ability to receive those photons. And what it does is it sets off cellular signaling pathways that then protect the cells. Okay. It can help them create more energy, and it can help them get out of inflammation. So, neurodegeneration, I looked mostly at Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And that was in my research. So I looked at how red light therapy affects people who have Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diagnoses. But I also looked at people who were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, who did not have any indication of neurodegeneration. And what we found was that the red light therapy, the photobiomodulation, whether a person had a healthy brain or a brain diagnosed with neurodegeneration, it did have effects on the brain. And it helped the brain. So in my MRI studies, whatever task I gave the brain to do when it had red light therapy, it was able to do it better.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas with someone who has Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, the neurodegeneration that they were experiencing, which comes or is very, very deeply connected to inflammation. Yeah, because inflammation is what causes the degeneration and the neuronal cell death. So the red light will then help that inflammation. When it was overboard, it helped calm it down, but it also initiated neuroprotection factors. So that when we looked at markers in their brains and just clinical, like case study, clinical signs and symptoms in the case studies, they had they stopped getting worse, and they even had an improvement in some of their signs and symptoms.
Wow, fascinating.
So that's what I researched. It was mainly the light. But now, when we look at chiropractic, I always think of chiropractic as the macro version of photobiomodulation. Photobiomodulation, it's a photon goes into the cell and it sets off signaling pathways that then helps the cell recover itself. And then they're all working together and it brings the system back into balance. The way I see chiropractic is, okay, let's look at the whole organism, the whole being. If there is a vertebral subluxation happening in the spine, then that organism is not functioning at its best. And that organism is
Correct.
a person who might
100%.
have I don't know, a C7 subluxation. And the act of creating an adjustment and then sending those signals to this through the spine to the brain and helping that alignment be optimized, then that person and their body is able to do what it's good at. And that obstruction or that problem, that obstacle has made way, moved out of the way, so that that person, that organism can behave and be their best. Right? So red light, it's like the micro version. The photon goes in, and maybe that cell is struggling. Maybe it's inflamed. It's completely struggling, or maybe it's healthy, but it's trying to do something. It's trying to complete a task. The red light photon goes in, and either the cell has gone back to baseline because it's inflamed,
Or
or
improved.
it's trying to conduct a task. I had people doing finger tapping tasks, or I had them meditate, and regardless of the task, they could do that better. Their brain
Better.
connectivity was better. So that's why I really love chiropractic. I see it as it's and subluxation, if you look at the word anatomy, subluxation, we're talking about light as well, where it's not lighting or firing up in its best way. So
Exactly.
I'd love to make that connection between.
I love what you said. It's beautiful. There's so much that I can go into there right now. Firstly, just the fact that, and this has been discussed many times in our profession about, is the concept of subluxation a historical thing? But I don't think so. I personally don't think so. And I love the way you've just explained that. And you're right. If we break down the word, lux is a measurement of light, right? Based on your research, photons having that impact on a cellular level. And I love how you've sort of shown the analogy that photo biomodulation is a micro version of the macro version of what chiropractic adjustment does. I was listening weird to Dr. James Chestnut. You probably have heard of him as well. He's a chiropractor, obviously from Canada, does a lot of wonderful things for our profession. And he was recently here doing some seminar series. And he talked about the importance of the motion unit, being the joint, the muscle, ligaments in and around that area, and how that fires off exactly what you're saying, that if you create movement at that motion unit and how it travels back through the nervous system and in turn, impacting the brain and changing the brain. And so a deconditioned body that has no movement and that obviously leads to obviously deconditioning of the nervous system, which kind of like what you're saying has a deconditioning effect overall of the nervous system, and then in turn the rest of the health of the organism. So I love how that all gels together and how you've brought that together through your research and your body of research about photobiomodulation. So that's fantastic. And with that understanding and that education, I can see how you're imparting that to your practice members on a regular basis and how that would make so much sense to them, knowing the sciences behind what it is, the art of what the chiropractor does.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so much fun to talk about it and to find different ways to explain it. You can explain one concept in an infinite number of ways. It's interesting to see which way is the way that clicks for that individual and lights up their eyes.
Exactly. Almost like the light bulb moment hits,
Yeah,
bang.
exactly.
It's fantastic. Oh, I love it. Now the other thing that I and we do hear a lot about in our profession is the discussion surrounding neuroplasticity. As chiropractors, we incorporate that discussion about neuroplasticity. And I'd love to hear from your perspective, obviously being the neuroscientist, how we can incorporate the discussion of neuroplasticity to our practice members on a day-to-day basis. And the caveat being, can we use that discussion on a day-to-day basis with our practice members? And is it rightful to be doing so? And where is this research with neuroplasticity and chiropractic at this stage that you're aware of?
That is a good question. You always ask good questions.
Well, this has been great. I love this. I love this.
Yeah, this
We're
is
just totally
amazing.
nerding out, Dr. Harlow. We're just
I
nerding
know.
out. So it's cool. I love it.
So, from my understanding, so I'll start with my understanding on neuroplasticity and how
Please.
it fits in with chiropractic. But most of that research does come from Dr. Heidi Harvick's
Yeah.
body of research. And I love to always turn to that and look to it and see what concepts are ready to present to our members of the community. I find that talking about those things, if we have understood the concept ourselves and we've looked at the research and when we look at that research, look at the data, integrate it, process it, and then form a certainty within us. And then, with that certainty, choose to share some information to a client. Then that can go really well. Okay. Of course, with the caveat or the understanding that, hey, this science is still growing. And there's still more information coming. But so far, this is the summary, and this is the information that I have. And this is what I know with certainty that I can pass on to you. But if you're curious, here's that article. Here is the body of research so that you can access it and you can form your own opinion. Now, most of the members of the public, they're not necessarily going to grab that link and read it and understand it completely. And some of them might, but giving them that option and showing them the receipts is powerful. There have been plenty of workshops where Justin and I have extracted the resources, so the articles that we've used to convey a particular concept. Talked about that concept, made it clear that, hey, this is still growing, but this is what we have, and this is where you can find it. People were happy that they could go and find that information, but they would never click on those links. Instead, they would always ask for the version that is condensed, put together, having that option, the freedom to go and seek more information and break it down. I think communicating about it with transparency And just being honest and upfront, just to say that, hey, these are the types of researches that have been conducted, and these are the results, and this is the conclusion that we can make today from this. Communicating it that way, it's just, I've just seen that it's been powerful, helpful, and it keeps us accountable to continue to grow and to continue to research and to continue to bring more information. So not treating it like it is absolutely the final destination.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point there. It's wonderful to know that science is always evolving. And I love how even if we look back on the last 100 years or so, how it's changed, not only for the scientific community, but certainly from our perspective as a chiropractic community as well, and how the science is slowly and ever evolving and changing, but in a positive, beneficial way to the profession. And like you're saying, those who are really interested in the details of it, they can. Here's the body of evidence. Go for it. Read it. Knock yourself out, but you're right. A lot of times people, one, either don't have the educational background to break all that scientific stuff down, or would like a condensed version so that they can go, oh, I can communicate this to my family, to my friends at a dinner party, why I'm seeing the chiropractor, rather than go, well, I don't know, the chiropractor told me I've got to come back. But why? I find that's a really good conversation to have, because I notice that within, as I'm still practicing, I notice that a lot too. And we try and break down, but having someone like yourself, who is a neuroscientist, being able to break that down, it then reinforces the message that us chiropractors have been saying for years on end.
Exactly.
So it's wonderful, and I can't thank you enough for that too, for the work you and Justin do in that regard. It's just slowly going to infuse across the board, and what you're effectively doing, the way I see it, is that with your background and your understanding, you're narrowing the field so that the two entities, which have had for probably for a long time, try to distance themselves from one another. One being, look, this is chiropractic, and one being, well, we're just science. We're all about science, and that's it. Now there's a lot more of a crossover. Would you agree?
I
And
have to agree with that.
that's beautiful, because it means that now the people that benefit from this crossover are our patients, our practice members, the community at large. They're the ones that now are saying, oh, I see how this can work together and how these two are supporting one another with a common message. Yeah, love
Exactly.
that. Love
And
that.
I do think that it helps with the, because chiropractic as a profession, it's there's a huge spectrum and there's a lot of variation, but having that overlap as well will benefit the entire chiropractic profession.
Absolutely.
And if we are unified within a profession, if all chiropractors are unified together, that and also unified with other professions, just that is so powerful. And the concept that, so this is something that I love to talk about and just ruffle the feathers of a little bit is, if someone is a skeptic, oh, beautiful, let's welcome that. Come bring your skepticism and let's sit down and let's open up the conversation. Because when we meet skepticism with defense, or just try to completely shut it down or push it aside, it creates more opposition. But if we welcome skepticism with, well, yeah, okay, let's sit down, let's look at the information and let's just be transparent and open and honest. We can, well, that opposition, first of all, it dies down.
Breaks down.
Skepticism, true
Completely dissipates.
skepticism. You can be a true skeptic, someone who's looking for the information, who's trying to understand, or you can be, it's not a skeptic, but it could be someone who is determined that their opinion is the only way. And no matter what, you can't say anything, but that's not true skepticism.
True. Yeah, agreed. So that's a lot like ego getting in the way, isn't it? Diminishing the ego or being open to a proper discussion, which is exactly what we want, right? That's all we can ask for, the time, the openness, and then in turn have an open discussion about the actual truths. So I applaud you immensely, and I can't I just can't think how wonderful it must be to be a practice member in your office with you and Justin there. So it's wonderful to hear. Dr. Hala, I always like to end our podcast with three little pointers, and you've been so generous with your time and so generous with your knowledge. I'd love, because we do have a lot of students and a lot of sort of fairly young graduates who follow and listen to the podcast. And I'd love for you to be able to share three quick points that you can give to those listeners that will inspire them on their chiropractic journey.
Three pointers for people starting out their journey or studying, right?
Yes, correct, correct.
Okay. So the first one is when you enter the profession of chiropractic, you are going to see a lot of opposition and you're going to see a lot of skepticism and you're going to see a lot of other people who have certainty that goes against chiropractic. And if you are a normal person, that may waver your confidence a bit. As you can see by the statistics, we have a lot of chiropractors who stop being chiropractors in the first 5 years,
Yes, true.
right? It's a 50% drop off.
Correct.
So, what I would say to you, number one pointer, is really truly stay connected to why you are doing this. So why are you studying chiropractic? And get very, very intimate with the whys that give you certainty and clarity. So, if you are more of a scientific type of person and you really need that kind of data to keep you certain and clear, then collect that and keep it in your why vault, because that is going to help with your unshakable certainty. And that's what we need in this kind of environment. Or
Perfect.
if you are someone who, your why is just this very simple little thing, then maybe that's all you need. But coming at it from a neuroscientific perspective, I would say really flesh it out. Give yourself a thousand whys. Give yourself all of the different layers and satisfy all of the different layers of your psyche so that you can go through the challenge because we need more chiropractors. We need more, and we can't just keep having them falling out of the profession
After 5 years, yes, correct.
after 5 years. We can't do that. It's very important. So that's my number one pointer.
Excellent.
My second one is when you are explaining chiropractic to help other people understand it as well, look at education. And education is can be very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated or over the top, but education in the community is what we're lacking and it's what we need. So if that education goes out there, and it can be simple and it could be just you saying, "Hey, look, this new article came out and this is what they found. Check it out. I'm excited about that. I'm going to add that to my book or my tool belt, my repertoire." And the third thing is, I think so. And again, this is from a neuroscientific concept, but you are a person. First and foremost, you are a person. So if you come out as the person that you are, and share who you are with your community while you are practicing as the chiropractor. The
Mm-hmm.
thing is, there is no pedestal. You're not healing people. You are giving them an adjustment, which then helps their body do what it needs to do. So the weight of healing people, you can take that off of your shoulders and focus on being the person that you are and delivering the adjustments that you need to deliver. And what you'll find is if people just know who you are, they just get to know you, and you are just giving these adjustments, and you're combining that education piece and staying connected with your why, that will make you immensely successful.
Oh, brilliant. 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 I just know that a lot of the young listeners would benefit that immensely. It's a message that's common, but sometimes, even as a experienced practitioner, I think sometimes you lose that way, right, with time. And so it's wonderful to know that, to reconnect, as I often like to talk about, re-dipping oneself into the essence of why. So you've covered that, and I'm sure the listeners will hugely appreciate it. I mean, I could talk on all day about that, and they go, "Oh yeah, that's another
Oh,
chiropractor
yeah.
talking about it." But the sheer fact that we have a neuroscientist before us who espouses to the same understanding and the same whys and the same reasons, and to stay connected with that makes so much sense. And that certainly continues to validate what it is that we've been talking about for hundreds of years as a profession. So thank you. Dr. Harla, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you this morning. Your insights, you're far, far, far too clever for me for my own books, but I love sharing the space with you. I love completely nerding out with you on all that stuff that you've done and how you go about implementing that in your own practice with your lovely husband, Justin. So thank you for your time immensely, and I do appreciate you and appreciate what you do, and I appreciate your honesty and your thoughtfulness in our conversation today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, that's it for me, listeners. Thanks for listening again, everybody. I hope this podcast has been helpful in your quest for excellence, and I look forward to chatting with you again and on our next ACA podcast.